Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Again, this is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have discussions about music and artists from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s when it comes to rap, soul, hip-hop, and R&B. Simply put, folks, this is the best music podcast that you've never heard until right now. Again, I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Shout out to those of you who are watching on YouTube. Check this out. On this episode, what I wanted to talk about is some unique hip-hop characters. Hip-hop, in its essence, was supposed to be and meant to be competitive. And from, you know, day one of hip hop and rap, really, because it was called rap at first, it wasn't called hip hop. But from its infancy, the genre was built on competition. I'm better than you. I'm the best. I'm the king of the hill, if you will. And you got to come knock me off this hill. And everybody always bragged about how good they were or how dope they were, or how bad their car was or how fine their girl was. That was, you know, hip hop in its infancy, or rap music as in its infancy. As time grew on, rap and rappers got better. But one thing that never really left rap, particularly early in its infancy, was the ability to have fun and have personality. And what I wanted to talk about on this episode was just some of my favorite unique hip hop characters that brought a lot of fun and brought a lot of different flavor to the rap game. Because here's the thing, everybody can't be super competitive. Everybody can't be the best. Everybody can't, rap like Rakim. But at hip hop's table, there's always room for everyone who is in hip hop. More specifically, at hip hop's table, there was room for funny, unique characters. And I'm going to talk about a few of my favorites on this episode. First up, in no particular order, Marcel Hall, better known as Biz Markie. Man, listen, Biz Markie was... He was interesting to say the least. Biz could rap, he could beatbox, and later on in his career, he became a DJ. Biz was born April 4th, 1964. Unfortunately, tragically passed away at the age of 57, July 16th, 2021. My favorite song from Biz, actually my favorite album from Biz, is Going Off, his first album, 1988, one of the greatest year in hip hop. And Biz had a very, very solid album that year. The album was called Going Off. But my favorite song from Biz, and still is my favorite song from Biz to this day, Nobody Beats the Biz. Nobody Beats the Biz. And the thing that I loved about Biz, man, was that he didn't take himself serious at all. He was a guy who enjoyed being Biz. And one of the things that I think you could say about Biz is that everybody loved Biz. Like, there's nobody from our era, from the 80s era, from the 90s era, who didn't like Biz. You know, there may be some that may be like, I don't care for his rapping style or whatever like that. But even that, with songs like Just a Friend, Nobody Beats the Biz, I mean, just to name a few, because Biz had hits. Vapors, the Albee Square Mall, like I said, just to name a few, Biz had a legion of fans, and like I said, he didn't take himself seriously. He was a jokester. He changed hip hop in a huge way because of the song that he did that did not get cleared for a sample, and he ended up kind of setting a trend as far as being, well, I guess what spawned from that was a lawsuit, and the lawsuit was eventually settled, but artists had to then clear samples on records where they were using material or music that was released from an artist before them. But yeah, man, Biz was the greatest, man. I love Biz. Like I said, he was somebody who didn't take himself seriously. He always had a good time. A great interview. Listen, if I had the chance to go back in time, I wish I had the podcast, you know, back in the day. But I would have loved to have interviewed Biz when I started this podcast. But yeah, Biz, man, incredible, fun guy. One of the things that made Biz unique was his ability to bring people together and his ability to have fun. And if you ever listen to Biz in an interview, great storyteller. Listen, there's an episode on Questlove's podcast, Questlove Supreme, where Biz is on there. And I think Biz does like a 3-hour interview, and it is incredible. One of my favorite interviews. Man, Biz has so many stories about hip hop and the Latin Quarter, and Biz was there. And again, he wasn't someone who, when you heard him rap, he wasn't going to like rap you under the table or anything like that. But that's just one of the things that made Biz unique, was that he was there to entertain. And if Biz was around, you're going to have a good time. Rest in peace, Biz Markie. Number two, William Jonathan Drayton Jr., a.k.a. Flavor Flav, the guy who coined the phrase, "Yeah, boy." Man, listen, Flav is one of a kind. Flav, obviously born March 16th, 1959. At the time of this recording, Flavor Flav is 66 years old. Flav, obviously the hype man from Public Enemy. What was interesting about Flav was that in the group Public Enemy, you know, Chuck D's the front man. He's your MC. He's the guy who's out front. But Flav was the comedy factor of, or the non-serious factor of Public Enemy. Because, you know, if you go to a PE concert, you got Chuck D, you got the S1Ws, and you got Terminator X, and everybody's dead serious. And Flav is dancing. He's doing his dance. He's out there with the clock. Famously known for having the big clock around his neck. And he was known for having that clock around his neck, and the clock represents time. And Flav always said he wanted you had to know what time it was. And he was always on time, and he knew what time it was in life. Flavor Flav, man. Let's see. My favorite song. I'm not going to say Cold Lampin', which is my boy Eclectic's favorite song. Shout out to Eclectic. Check out his podcast. Check out both of his podcasts, the Eclectic Discussion Podcast and Encyclopedia Hip Hop, his other podcast. But I would say probably my favorite Flavor Flav song is 911 is a Joke. 911 is a Joke is a very unique song, and Flav did a great job of telling a story about how the emergency services don't work or work as fast as they should in, you know, black and brown neighborhoods. And he wasn't lying. And I mean, like, unfortunately, there were people who, you know, suffered injuries and some perished because, you know, 911, calling 911 in a black neighborhood or a brown neighborhood wasn't going to get them there any faster. In fact, sometimes it was going to move slow. If you get a chance, check out the video. A very funny video, but that was Flav. And the cool thing that I loved about Public Enemy was, as serious as Chuck D was, Flavor Flav was there to balance out the seriousness, because he was dancing, he was on stage saying something funny, he was doing something funny. Flavor Flav is truly one of a kind. He went on to do reality TV, which was crazy to me because I could not understand how or why these beautiful women would line up to date Flavor Flav. But it was for TV, and it was interesting. And honestly, I tuned in, and I'm not even a big reality TV type guy. But Flav has done his thing over the years, man. And I'm sure many of you have seen the clip of Flavor Flav playing the piano. The guy is he plays like 10 different instruments. Like he's a classical piano player. And you wouldn't think that by looking at him. But truly one of a kind. Like I said, Public Enemy is one of my favorite groups, so got a lot of love for Flavor Flav. He is definitely a unique hip-hop character. Number three, and again, these are in no particular order, Richard William Stephen Shaw, a.k.a. Bushwick Bill from the trigger-happy motherfucking Ghetto Boys. As many of you know, Bushwick Bill is one-third of the Ghetto Boys. Born December 6, 1966. He unfortunately passed away at the age of 52 on June 9th, 2019. Bushwick Bill definitely was a unique character. Bushwick Bill obviously was a dwarf or what we call little person. I think they used to call them midgets back in the day, but the more politically correct word is a little person now. But man, Bushwick Bill, not for nothing, man, his raps were always funny to me because Bushwick Bill talked a lot of shit. Like, he didn't back down from nobody. I remember the joint, Read These Nikes, where he talked about stomping people out. And so in your mind, you're trying to picture this little guy, you know, talking shit and beating people up. And, you know, quiet as kept, Bushwick Bill around Houston, from what we were told, coming up, was known for his hands. Like, he could throw hands with the best of them, in spite of being like 3 feet tall. If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast, hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul podcast and enjoy the vibes. Favorite song, probably my favorite verse from Bushwick Bill is the verse from Mind Playing Tricks on Me. I want to say Scarface wrote that for Bill, but Bushwick Bill, man, was a unique character in and of itself. I mean, he had the the crazy album cover photo on the Ghetto Boys' album, We Can't Be Stopped, where he had gotten shot in the eye. And I think they put Bill on a gurney, and as legend has it, he was supposed to take the photo because I want to say Bill had just gotten out of the hospital, I think. Like, he had just gotten shot in the eye by his girlfriend or girlfriend at the time, maybe a couple of days before that. But they wanted to add some shock value, so Bill had a patch over his eye and a bandage over his eye, but for the photo shoot for the album cover, they decided to take it off. And so you see his eye, you know, just looking crazy on that album cover. But Bushwick Bill, man, love Bill, man. The Ghetto Boys, they had their ups and downs as a group. Both Willie D and Scarface publicly and privately feuded with Bushwick Bill. But Bill did things his way. And, you know, they were a interesting collective because they would fall out and then get back together. And then they fall out again and then get back together. And, you know, I don't even know if they were necessarily on pretty good terms when Bill passed away. But, you know, they made history together. And Bushwick Bill definitely was a unique character. One of the things that made Bill unique was obviously just his how he looked, because he was a small guy. He was, you know, kind of muscular. And like I said, he talked a lot of shit. So he might have been 3'3", but he talked like somebody who was 7'3". And I don't think that'll ever go away as far as Bushwick Bill is concerned. I think he'll always be remembered for those rhymes of him talking trash, because that's who Bushwick Bill really was at the core. Number four, and again, these are in no particular order, Russell Tyrone Jones, a.k.a. the Old Dirty Bastard. Born November 15th, 1968. He passed away at the age of 35, November 13th, 2004. So just a few days before his 36th birthday. ODB, to me, is my favorite member of Wu-Tang. Not the best, but my favorite member. I always said that ODB reminds you of that cousin that you have who will do anything or say anything at any given time, and it doesn't matter who it is or what's happening, he's going to say what he needs to say. He famously bum-rushed the stage at the Grammys in one of my all-time favorite hip-hop moments. That moment will never not be funny to me. I crack up just thinking about it right now, because I can see ODB in his heart of hearts. He really, really thought that Wu-Tang was going to win. He told you that he thought Wu-Tang was going to win. That's why he bought a suit that cost him a lot of money. And he said, no disrespect to Puffy, but Wu-Tang is for the children. We teach the kids. And so that, I think that memory will forever be etched in stone. Favorite ODB song? I would probably say, I've got quite a few. It's hard for me to narrow it down to one. I'd probably go with, because here's the thing, the album, 36 Chambers, I love that album. I love that album from front to back. He's got the iconic, he's got the iconic album cover with the food stamp card on the cover. ODB has some wild moments. I mean, like I said, bum rushing the Grammys, the MTV. I'll never forget the MTV where he was on TRL. And they had kids calling in or whatever like that to the live audience. So he's in front of a live audience, and they were taking a live call on air. And someone said, I have a question for ODB. You know, what is it that you're doing for the community? Do you give back? No. Do you feel like you? No. They said, what is it that you're doing for the community to give back to the community? And he looked around, and he pointed at himself like, me? You talking to me? And they were like, yeah. And he said, nothing. And he was dead serious. The time that he was in the limousine and he rode in the limousine to go pick up his food stamps. ODB was, I mean, there's only one ODB. I remember my dad coming down to visit me at South Carolina State University. And we got in my car. We were going to get some lunch. And he saw a CD on the back. No, there was a CD in the passenger seat. So I had to move the CD. And so I moved the CD and I put it in the like little console. And he looked at it. He said, "Son, who is Old Dirty Bastard?" And he said it just like that. "Who is Old Dirty Bastard? And why are you listening to somebody named Old Dirty Bastard? And why is he the Old Dirty Bastard?" And I couldn't even answer that. All I could do was just laugh. So I played him Brooklyn Zoo, which is probably my, going back to it, it's probably my favorite song from ODB. So I played him Brooklyn Zoo, and he was even more confused than ever. But, man, rest in peace, ODB, man. I love that guy. He was definitely, like I said, my favorite member. Not the best member of Wu-Tang, not the most lyrical, but my definitely my favorite, and he is sorely missed. Last but not least, again, these are no particular order, unique hip-hop characters. Gregory Edwards Jacobs, you know him as Shock G, a.k.a. Humpty Hump, born August 25th, 1963, passed away at the age of 57 on April 22nd, 2021. Humpty Hump, man. Hey, yo, stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you used to. I look funny. But yo, I'm making money. See, so your world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather around. I'm the new fool in town, and my silence laid down by the underground. I drink up all the Hennessy you got on your shelf. So just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty. Man, listen. I love that dude, man. There was a point in time in hip hop where people really didn't know if Shock G and Humpty Hump were two different people. I know that sounds crazy, but they were literally people who would argue as to whether or not Humpty Hump was a real person. Shock G played the hell out of Humpty Hump and vice versa. And Shock G did a great job of being Humpty Hump on record. And when it was time to do videos, he showed up as Humpty Hump and he performed as Humpty Hump and then he performed as Shock G. And I think that was one of the things that made, you know, Shock G unique. Shock G was a very talented guy. Obviously, he doesn't get the credit that he probably should, but it was his group, Digital Underground, that gave Tupac his first start. They gave Tupac a chance to become a dancer for their group, and then ultimately Tupac got a chance to rhyme on Same Song, which was the first time that personally that I'd ever heard Tupac Shakur rhyme. But yeah, Shock G, man, he was special. He was special. And people don't really talk a lot about Digital Underground and Shock G's contribution to that group and to that sound. But man, that Sex Packets album was dope. It is still dope to this day. If you haven't heard it, go give it a spin, man. Listen, I love that album. That album never gets old to me. And like I said, it's Humpty Hump, it's Shock G, and I think he does a great job of playing both sides. And like I said, he did it well enough to the point where Shock G and Humpty Hump are the same person, but there were people that literally couldn't tell the difference. And I think that was one of the things that made him unique, was that he, you know, was able to go back and forth between the two, and Humpty could rap. So and he was a showman. He wanted to put on a great show, and he always did. In conclusion, I've thoroughly enjoyed each of these unique figures, from Biz Markie to Flavor Flav to Bushwick Bill to ODB and Shock G, aka Humpty Hump. I love the fact that they were authentically who they were. They didn't apologize for who they were. They weren't afraid of embarrassing themselves, because, I mean, literally, if you bum rush the stage at the Grammys, you don't care about anything at all. But I miss them, because with the exception of Flavor Flav, as you can tell by what I was saying, they're all gone with the exception of Flav. But they also represent a particular point in time in hip hop where it was okay to have fun. And I think listening to them and seeing them is a very good reminder that it's still okay in hip hop to have fun. You just got to be unique. That's all. And that's going to do it for me. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for checking out this edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We drop new episodes every Monday and every Friday. Don't forget about the flagship station, the 12 Kyle Podcast. We drop new episodes there every Thursday and every Sunday. If you're on YouTube, check us out on YouTube as well. Download and subscribe there and share it with a friend who loves music as much as you do. We're also on social media, 12 Kyle Rap Soul Podcast across the board. Also, we have merch. We have 12 Kyle Podcast merch. Go to the 12 Kyle Podcast page, and there you can buy 12 Kyle Podcast t-shirts, hoodies, as well as coffee mugs. We got it for the low. Again, that's going to do it for me. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. I'll catch you guys next time. 5,000. Cheers.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.